Book of Matthew, chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 21 to 26. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raka shall be in danger of counsel. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of Gehenna. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. This is the portion which is also connected to the Old Testament, the sixth commandment out of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. The Lord is communicating with his, speaking with his disciples. And how that thou shalt not kill, the commandment needed to be interpreted even for them. So before anybody kills anyone, so what goes on in the heart of a man, if he is plotting to kill one, that he said, there will be a resentment in the heart first, then there will be kind of a words which will come out, then there is actual action. But for everything, then the Lord said in this manner, in verse 22, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. So if anybody is angry with a brother, then he also will come under judgment. That portion we have seen on Friday evening. That means even there is the slightest resentment towards other people in our hearts, that also is a matter in the sight of God, who can really bring that out. And when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So we have seen in the life of David how he actually asked the Lord in Psalm 17, Psalm 26, Psalm 19. That means even in the Old Testament, in spite of his most difficult times with his father-in-law King Saul and also his own son Absalom, he has maintained that kind of a honest heart and a good conscience before God and before men. Even the slightest resentment he avoided. So he knew that it is not a good thing for him to be there like that. Then when we come to the next one, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raka, or in the margin it is said fool. So the word in Hebrew is more appropriate to be used as fool than raka. So if anyone says to any brother that you are a fool, that means we have formed an opinion about them and judging them and very slight sarcastic manner or something, putting them down in a different sense we are doing, then that also will come under a judgment of counsel. Counsel is something very high. It is like a Sanhedrin in those times. That is like a Supreme Court. It will be the highest court in the law on the land there. So when such a word It is not the actual word, but it is a state of the heart of a man thinking about someone that what they are, and saying that word is the one which will really not acceptable in the sight of God. So when you are saying somebody fool, that means you are thinking that you are a better person than him, and in your sight they are good for nothing. So when God considers that our heart in that kind of a prideful state towards other people, God does not accept that one. So there is a reason why is he created God, that person also in his image. And we are no one to say that kind of a word to that person. And if you do not agree, that is a different thing. But if you are saying something, then that is a different matter. So the Lord is looking for something that it is not a right thing. It means the Lord is looking for a heart unto something that as his disciples, we need to be so clear, conscious, towards God and towards man, both ways. And not a single word going here and there towards other people. If something like that, then that will also be brought under judgment. It is called judgment of counseling. Counseling is the biggest one. See, now those two judgments, one is a judgment and another was a counsel. And our heart resentment or anger is coming to the judgment, and our words are coming under the judgment of the counsel. These two, one is in our heart feelings, and the second one is saying words. Both are not taken as a punishable or offensible in the court of law on the earth. So if I say someone fool, I don't think that anybody can normally in the any government will book the case against me. So what the Lord is saying, those two things will be judged in the when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So when we understand that when how the Lord's judgment is going to be, then accordingly our life is needed to be in our heart or our conscience needed to be exercised in a such a manner, not to have any kind of ill feeling or resentment, anger in our hearts. And that anger, if you take it away, then you will also not say inappropriate words towards the other people. So in the beginning itself, how our heart and our conscience towards the God and people to be maintained. Towards God is the reverence and fear, and also towards people with love, so that we will maintain good conscience towards them, both of them. And this is a very big problem for all of us, that we don't really take this matter very seriously in our day-to-day conduct of our lives. We say many words which are not supposed to. We entertain many thoughts in our life, many things which are not acceptable to the Lord. But all these things, the Lord is going to bring it out. So if a life continued with an undisciplined, unsanctified way, and as at the end of the day when the Lord judges us, and these are the things which the Lord is going to bring to judgment. So we may not be killing, or we may not be doing immoral activity like the worldly people, but those are all, you think that you are much better than them. But it is not that will give you enough hold in the sight of God when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But God always looks at the heart. So that means if we have an opportunity and if there is no problem, you will also behave the same way the worldly people will do. But then the Lord will not accept that kind of a heart. And that is definitely not suitable for heavenlies. If we are interested, if we are really looking, a place where God is there and where His Son is in glory, and we are looking forward for that place to be found all the time, then our hearts also needed to be brought out to be conducive to that atmosphere, to that life. And that is, this is a ground where we all needed to be ready for that place. So in it is our interest, the Lord has put in the word of God that how we need to live in our lives here. Then he said, and whosoever shall say to his brother shall be in danger of counsel, but whosoever shall say, thou fool. Fool is actually the word rebel. What Moses said to the children of Israelites in book of Numbers chapter 20. So last week also we have seen that. That is the word which is rebel means rebel against God. So that means he is taking the position of God to judge them. So the thinking fool is in your heart, and if you are feeling, instead of esteeming him good, then you are esteeming him fool. You are considering him fool. And here in this matter, you are taking the position of a God and saying that you are a rebel. So that is not a rebel against God. So that is not acceptable to the Lord. So in book of Romans chapter 14 and also in James, the apostles both were asking that who are you to judge the your another child of God? So that means we have no right to do that. So we'll read that references. Book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to me. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So we don't have any right to do that. The moment I am saying that you are a rebel, that I am assuming a position of a judge. So if I say a rebel, you have read many times that book of Numbers chapter 20, where he said that you, Raka, are rebels. Numbers chapter 20 verse 10 to 15, that incident, you can read that one. So that either having a resentment in the heart or saying a word fool, that means considering the brother lower than you. And the third one, much more aggressively saying that you are rebel against God. So in all these things, counsel, judgment, and Gehenna fire, that will be the punishments which the Lord is going to dispense. So the counsel and the judgment, both are, we say, those things are coming from our hearts, then it will be punishable offense when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So in book of Matthew chapter 12, we see that the Lord said, so chapter 12 verse 35 onwards. Matthew 12, 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. So, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Then we need to be careful then how the words are proceeding out of our mouth. then if we have a consciousness of that, then everything which I speak, utter, either in private or in public, how God is going to take note of them and will bring me under judgment of those matters. It should be a serious concern for all of us. And whosoever shall say, thou rebel, shall be in a danger of Gehenna fire. The Gehenna fire is, the other day we have seen, it is the valley of Hinnom, which is in the southeast side of the Jerusalem, where all the garbage of the city in the times of our Lord Jesus Christ was brought out and put it on fire. And all the time there is a fire going on. And all the criminals also, those who are not really worthy to be given a decent burial, those bodies are also thrown out into the fire which was burning along with the garbage. So the Lord was saying that these people, those who say that you, to any brother, that a rebel, then they are liable to that kind of a punishment. So now, for example, if a brother say to another brother that you are a rebel, or something of that sort which God considers that as in a serious offense, now there is no Gehenna fire here. So that was those days there. But corresponding to that, whatever is required in other places, wherever it is, the Lord is going to put them into that kind of a punishment. So any of these things, what the Lord has said, will not be given any exemption. If the Lord considers that, that is what we have committed. And the Lord will also bring them unto that kind of a judgment, what he pronounced here. So whatever now in other places, wherever it is Gehenna or the valley of Hinnom fire, that all will be real and applicable. So a believer who thinks that I came out of the forgiveness, I came and the Lord forgave me and I am in the Lord, then there is no condemnation if they take the verse 1 of Romans 8 chapter. But these verses also we should consider. Every word which you utter will be brought under judgment. Same God, it is also written. So we cannot say that is for me and this is not for me. Both are for us. So we need to be careful in how we, our heart condition, how we utter words and how we say different kind of words to the people. And in all these things, then our heart condition towards the brothers, how it occupies is the important matter. When we say that there is no going to be any punishment for the believers, but the same Lord also is talking about the believer, brothers. So that means it is, if he is an unbeliever, then there is no relationship as a brother. It is a brother. So we need to understand that relation.
Brother, yes. This is a quick question.
Yes.
This is for both the brothers and also the unbelievers. The way we speak, the words that the Lord will take into account. Or is it only to the believers context the Lord is exhorting to the disciples?
Now, if you want to speak with a brother, like, if you don't want to speak with a brother like that, but if you take the liberty of talking in the similar fashion to the unbelievers, so that means your heart is not right actually. You are carefully avoiding some and liberally observe and doing some. So, how can the Lord would consider my heart is really good?
Yeah, that is what my point is, because if we behave in a very good way to a brother, but then our inner condition of our heart is still not cleansed, we would be behaving differently with unbelievers.
Yeah, that is still not bad.
So the Lord will consider it as even more bad, because here I'm trying to curtail my speech. But there I'm trying to be like, so the judgment is on both count.
It is not someone outside or inside. It is a condition of your heart.
Condition of my heart.
You see, suppose you are avoiding with a brother because feeling the judgment of God. you are doing outside because you don't have that kind of a heart condition to show reverence to God's commandment. That is why that kind of a heart is not acceptable to the Lord.
But the Lord is looking at the heart more than the words first.
Yeah, that is, so when the Lord said in the commandment, the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill, it is the meaning of this, that your words, that condition of your heart is the most important thing. That is what ultimately or subsequently leading to a killing, a murder.
If with the believers, if you're one way, and with non-believers, you're other way, it's a heart of hypocrisy.
Yes.
And hypocrisy is woe to them, God, Jesus said when he was here.
Yeah, that's right. That is what I was saying, that my heart is not ready if it is. I'm just carefully acting.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Your nature should be, by your heart, your nature should be the same according to the word of God, wherever you are, whether with your family or believers or non-believers.
So in this regard, that the assembly life is the very... A good training ground for all of us.
Yeah.
So we are all coming from different backgrounds. Everybody was brought up differently. And languages are different. Cultures are different. Our understandings are different. But in that, everyone is individually unique. And at that time, then when you are learning to behave with all of them, on the new ground as a brother and sister, on the basis of the scripture, and so much of overhauling is required in our lives to conduct ourselves with them in a manner what is written in the scripture. Roger, go ahead then.
Yeah. So I was like, if a person has a inner heart, which only God can see, and he is... say, like sister said, hypocrite. So can that person, even when he knows the scripture and he claims to be born again, can he claim to be saved with this particular heart? He might be saved to the other world, but is he actually saved?
Saved in relation to the forgiveness of sins and receiving the gift of eternal life, yes. But participating in glory to rule with the Lord, no.
Okay.
We need to differentiate between these two when we are using the word saving. So in what? So in the regard of forgiveness of sins and receiving the gift of the eternal life, it is freely done by the Lord for all of us.
Right.
Nobody will be saved according to their own works. And it is impossible. Right. But the Lord has shown his grace. That is why we believed on him, and he has taken care of our past, all sins, and also the future, so that we are all saved. But entering into glory to rule along with him needs a sanctified change of the nature of our hearts.
Right.
We are talking about that now.
So, that is why Brother was trying to say, as a person, we all are trained to speak in an environment where we are. So we may curtail our words, but the inner purity is what the Lord is looking, that seemingly from outside, even if I don't say anything like raka or fool, I still will be judged if I restrain all those saying, but in my heart, if I'm saying raka and fool.
Yeah, but still that is, we have read, no, that the reference in book of Romans chapter 2, yeah, and 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Romans chapter 14, all those things will be brought under the light.
Yes, so that's what I was saying. So I have to be careful, not what I say from my mouth, but I should be more careful what I'm saying in my heart more so.
Yeah.
Isn't it, brother?
That's right. And you see, Jayant, we need to notice this one. If I am concentrating on how I speak with my brothers, we always will fail.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Don't concentrate on that one.
No, I'm not. That's what I was trying to say. I should concentrate on my heart condition more so than the words I speak.
Yeah, I mean, you means not, none of us. But what we need to do is learn to love the Lord. And what pleases to the Lord that you inculcate as a, your habitual behavior. And that is where we will avoid, whether it's a brother or a non-brother, we will do well. But when you are trying to carefully traverse your way with different people in different places, then it will all get into, we will never be growing in sanctification.
Yes.
Our heart needed to be associated, clinged, cleaved with the Lord. By faith, the Lord should live in our hearts so that the love and affection of Him towards all may generate from the bottom of our hearts to avoid all this mess. Then only we will be all right. Otherwise, nobody will be able to, if you are avoiding the talking this, you will do something else. So we cannot go bit by bit, piece by piece. Just see carefully by faith, allow the Lord to live in your heart by faith. That was the prayer of Paul to Ephesians chapter 3 verse 17. Then when He lives in us, what kind of a love and affection He has towards the brethren, He will allow to germinate in our heart also the same thing. Then our words and our deeds will also curtail automatically towards them because of His powerful living in us.
What is filled in our heart only, our mouth will speak.
What is that, sister?
What is filled in our heart, our mouth will speak.
So if our Lord is filled with your in your heart, then you will speak about Him. So, shall we have more questions or we'll proceed?
Brother.
Yes.
If our heart is also is clear, but when we go to the workplaces, the mingling with other people's, and we will become like that too sometime.
But that is not right, Samson. So we need to be wherever we are. We need to conduct ourselves as a separated people. So if they don't agree, if they don't like you, that is not a problem.
Mm.
But you need to manifest the character and the behavior of the Lord in every place. While the Lord was here, there were Pharisees and the scribes. They were all opposing Him. Did He anyway compromise with them?
No.
That's the same thing. Wherever the Lord puts us, and according to your understanding and ability, the Lord will supply you grace to conduct in a manner. You will not be compromising with what is not good. The Lord will help you. But in your heart, if you don't have that kind of a burden, I need to please the Lord, then you will compromise. If you are looking to please people, then it is easy for you to mix with them. But if you are now trying to please the Lord, then you will be with the Lord. Then you won't have any feeling if they reject you, because you are learning to please the Lord.
Yes.
I would like to read one verse about that. Yeah. Book of Hosea. Chapter 7:8-9.
Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake unturned. Altars have devoured his strength, but he does not know it. Yes, gray hairs are here and there on him. Yes, he does not know it.
So Ephraim, he had mixed with himself among the people. So that means he is now fully mixed with the world. So when he is outside in the world, he is like that. What happened to him? He said, is a cake not turned? When you are making a chapati or anything, then it is need to be done both sides. It is only done on one side. On one side, he doesn't like because he wanted to be on the other side with the world, where there is no problem. Then he says, in verse 9, strangers have devoured his strength. So while mixing with the world, then his strength is also gone. Then he knoweth it not. Yet, gray hairs are here and there upon them, yet he knoweth not. So gray hair is speaking that you are losing the strength of your hair. You are growing old. So even that he did not recognize. His mixing has become so much that he became a cake which is not turned, and his hair started turning gray, but he did not know. And how pathetic that is, a condition of a believer if he is like that. He is thinking that is okay, but that is not okay in the sight of the Lord. You cannot eat a cake, bread or cake which is only done one side. The other side is acha. So we should not do that two-way life. But when you take the stand wherever you are working, then the Lord gives you everyday grace. But that is the battle where the Lord brings your heart. Mm-hmm. And ultimately your truth and your stand will be recognized and honored by God. If those people do not know. If they don't recognize also. So shall we come back to Book of Matthew? Mm-hmm. Verse 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and there rememberest that thy brother hath ought against thee. So if when you are bringing an offering to the altar, that time it is still, the Lord has not completed his work. The Old Testament altar is still there. That he brought the offer to the altar and gave it to the priest. But there he remember. Then if you remember that you, that thy brother hath ought against thee. You don't have anything, but your brother has got something against you. That time either you were made to remember or somebody came and told you that there is someone who is having a, he has something against you. So that is, now he is going to offer his worship, prayer or whatever he wanted to offer to the Lord. But that time, if you remember, at the altar, then he said, don't do that. Don't offer the altar. Let it be there. You go back. Then reconcile with the brother. And you tell him then what you meant, what he understood. And if it is truly your heart is right with you, then the Lord will help that brother also to understand your honesty and the love filled your heart towards him. Then the situation will be reconciled. But when you are trying to reconcile, but in your heart, that heart condition, what God looks at or requires towards that brother is missing, then you are doing in a very superficial manner, only to please him or to fulfill the word, but still that is not good. So when many times we know that somebody is offended, we say sorry. But that sorry is not coming truly from the bottom of our heart. And also that sorry is not, it came to know that you offended him, you said sorry. Suppose that it was not known to him, that brother, what will he say? If that brother did not tell anybody who was offended, but you know that you offended him, you will have to still go and tell him, or it was okay? Yes.
Go and reconcile with him, even if it is not your mistake also.
No, I did not say that. No, I am asking that you offended a brother. That brother did not tell you anything, that I was offended because of you.
You have to go and tell sorry to him.
Even if he does not bring it to your attention.
But your heart is guilty, right?
No, I'm asking you.
Yeah. Yes, brother.
Yes. So that time, not what normally we all will do is, suppose when we somebody did not bring to our attention that brother was offended by us, and if they don't come to us, then we don't say sorry. Then we don't really feel about that. No, is that right, or you just whatever is the condition, you want to go and say sorry? So that is not what the Lord is saying here. If you remember and that you offended, then even if that brother did not say anything to you, you go and tell him, you are sorry,
that
it was not intentional or whatever the condition. You truly manifest your love and concern to the brother. By any chance, if you are causing an offense to the brother in following the Lord, there is a serious punishment for that. So, book of Matthew, chapter 18. So, I'm reading from verse 7 onwards. Book of Matthew, chapter 18. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt, maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into the life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. And in another place in the book of Luke's Gospel, we'll see that in. So where a millstone is hanged in his neck and to be cast into the sea.
It is there in Matthew 18 also.
What verse is that?
6 and
6. Yeah. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged out his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea.
Luke 17:2 also.
Yeah, Luke 17:2 also. So now you see that what kind of a life would be. That means if I offend a brother, any little one, and because I'm in a position or I can say something, then if he is offended and not considered, not reconciled and not set right, then they are going to put me a millstone on my neck and drown me in the sea. That means there is no going up, coming up. And that kind of a death is something very horrible. I cannot swim, I cannot come up because there is a bait hanging on my neck. So this is only one in, the Lord said, proclaimed such kind of a very horrible punishment by causing an offense to any little one. Verse 24, Matthew 5:24. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. So you can come back and offer the gift again. So that means it is, you are not exempted now not to offer that one. So this is also to be done. That is also to be done. Our responsibility towards God and our responsibility towards man both need to be fulfilled in an equal manner. Verse 25. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him. So how soon you need to go and reconcile after knowing that? He said quickly. While you are on the way. On the way means it is not something that our way to some destination. In a sense, in one sense that is right. Our destination is towards the leaving this world to the and leaving a place of departed souls or Hades, wherever it is, or if the Lord comes or at that time. So that is called the distance, that is called the way. Within that time, quickly you reconcile. And while thou art on the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge. So why there is an urgency to there? Suppose that person whom you have offended is gone before you, left this world. Or he has gone some other location. He moved to a new location where you cannot reach. Then it is a problem. The charge is still laid against you. That brother must have complained about you to the throne of God. This brother has done this kind of an injustice or told me like this. And I was feeling, my heart is grieved about this. Then the Lord will look at that. Then that charge is still pending against the one who caused offense in the court of God. So it is quickly, it is needed before any of the two parties left this world. Then there is no chance for the reconciliation. Lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge. So when he goes before, and that there is no chance, we missed the chance and the opportunity. In the court of God, where the other person also goes when the case is opened, both are standing before the judgment seat of Christ. Then since the charge is already laid against me and still pending to be disposed of, then the Lord will bring that case for the disposal. And then he will say, the adversary will deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer. Then the judge will deliver the judgment and tell the officer in heavens, thou be cast into prison. So thou will be put in a confinement where you will not be enjoy the freedom what otherwise is available for the children of God in that place. Verse 26. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost for thee. So here we say there is my currency is measured in dollars. Then they will say that you pay $10,000 and 6 months in prison. But there, whatever the fording or the currency, which we have to pay in terms of there, or whatever the judgment time the judge decides. So that will be, he will not come out till that is paid. And I don't know what is that fording. But if we miss out the opportunity to resurrect in the first resurrection, then I will not be coming in glory with the Lord to rule for 1,000 years. That opportunity is gone. So then if my judgment falls for 900 years, then the 900 years I need to be inside. Or 9 years, I need to be inside. 9 months, I need to be inside. But once we lose the opportunity of coming out in the first resurrection to rule with the Lord, that is gone. So we cannot take anything very lightly and simply or easily in our lives. The Lord is looking each of his children come to a stage of that kind of a heart which is compatible to the heavenlies to glorify his name. When we are not taking it seriously, our conduct of thoughts and words, the Lord anytime can equate them to the murder or killing. then correspondingly there is going to be a very punishment. Evil officer will deliver, judge will deliver you to the officer and office will put you in prison. You will not come out till you pay the 40, last 40. So that means even a single day, whatever is due, you need to pay that penalty. So when I heard this and came to know what is this means, this passage, about 30 years ago. So I went and told all the people whomsoever I felt I did not conduct well. So they said, we never felt, but I felt, I said, I felt. So some of them said, I'm acting like a fool. But that was the truth which has gripped me so much. But I'm not saying that every day of this remaining 30 years I did like that. But many times my old nature must have come up. But I'm conscious that how my God, my Father, expect my heart to be with Him and also in relation to my brothers and sisters. And God honors that heart and blesses them. Because that is the heart which is required to be found in His presence all through.
Uncle, I have a question.
Yes.
So, we have seen the life of the Moses and we have seen the life of the David and the Paul also. So, they are chosen, whatever they did, and God completed their punishment when they were on the face of earth. If suppose that punishment is not completed in us when we are on the face of the earth, that punishment will be completed when we leave this world. But as we are talking about that millennial time, missing the millennial time, was one of the punishment. But as you are telling before, like, we don't know how much time, maybe 9 months or 9 years or 900 years, we are going to miss some time with seeing God. But when we have seen the rich man and the Lazarus, is that Jesus was telling about that one, is it applies to us or not, that particular punishment? Because he is feeling that there is a burning fire in and he needs help from other side.
See, now in verse 22nd, last line, thou, if, but whosoever shall say thou rebel shall be in danger of hellfire.
Yes.
So that is the fire where that rich man was there.
Okay. So it means not only missing the menial time, and there is extra punishment is also there.
Missing is only one thing. This is the thing which we done. We need to pay that one.
Yeah. Yesterday we were discussing about the things what we have meditated a couple of days back, and we are in a dilemma, like, what kind of punishment? Because when we have, God gave the example of the rich man, what kind of punishment I am going to get? Because I'm not that kind of person to judge anybody. I'm very quick in judging somebody. So in that situation, because after the Deuteronomy meditation, we came to conclusion and I came to conclusion. So I need to ask honestly to God to give me punishment when I am on the face of the earth, or I need to get the punishment 10 times more when I pass this life. So which is the better choice? Now ask punishment now to get it, or to get the punishment after passing this life? We were debating on that matter, Uncle, the family prayer.
Yes, good. You don't have to ask God, give me the punishment.
No, we need to have a honest heart. I don't need to ask God, but I need to have that point of a honest heart to God. Give me a, I know my weaknesses, so take out that weakness. Not only just taking out the weakness, but there is a repercussions for whatever I talk, right? Whatever the judgment I pass on to my brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Then I need to complete that judgment, I mean, that punishment here or later.
No, if your heart is honest with you now, the Lord wanted to complete the sanctification here.
Yeah.
But if you are trying to avoid and postpone the work of sanctification, then it will be done there. If you are truthful in your heart towards the Lord loves you and does everything required, whatever is needed to be done to be with Him when you leave this world. So what problem with the believers is, and many of us, when the Lord wanted to discipline us and we don't like it. Discipline is always mortifying the eye, feet, leg, hand, words and everything. That means putting the old man on the cross. It brings death. And death is painful. We don't like the painful things.
Yes.
Go to the Lord, always give all the pleasure things, smooth things.
Yes.
And we put a mark called grace. That is not good. When my heart is honest with the Lord, whatever is good for my life to be completed, sanctification, the Lord will take me through. And that all starts within the family. So with our wife, mothers, father, brothers, sisters, children, the Lord will do a lot of things. But when we are subjecting to the Lord, but if you are commanding different things that I need to be like this, then we don't allow the work of the Lord in us. Then the second place of good ground is the assembly. In assembly, when we meet 20, 30, 40 people, if you are trying to exercise that good conscience towards all the brethren and learn to love all of them, then we are done. Whatever is required, then everything will be completed by the Lord. So I told many times, if I learn to love all the 40 brothers in the assembly, and I am done, and the Lord will take me home. So every one of us have got a different opinion about all of us. We need to come honestly before the Lord. Learn to love each one, whatever they are. And encourage them, whatever the way. First, when our heart is not right, we cannot even encourage them. Learn to love because they are the children of God. And we both worship, both pray to the same God. If my heart is not right and my prayer is not acceptable, you leave the offering, go there first. You don't have to pray. You don't have to worship. Reconcile with the brother. Tell the Lord, tell the brother in the most available opportunity. And be open, honest, love, and exercise that conscience.
I have a scenario here. Mm-hmm. If you go to worship and your heart pricks you and your conscience mm-hmm. tells you, it reminds you that you've done something against a brother, leave everything there and go.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose I said something to someone mm-hmm. and in my heart I feel I've done the right thing, but the other person got offended, is mm-hmm. upset, but mm-hmm. it doesn't strike my mind at all that I have upset that brother or sister. From my point, I was correct and that was right, and it doesn't come to my heart and mind also that I have offended someone. In that case, what should that person do? It doesn't strike them at all.
That in that case, if your heart and conscience is always maintained well with the Lord, the Spirit will bring to your attention. So because your heart is good and you wanted to maintain good conscience with the brothers and with the Lord, then the Lord will bring to your, Spirit will bring to your attention whatever you have spoken to someone on the other day, on that incident, on that situation, and that was not acceptable. And
so
get offended.
So if it doesn't come to you, means are you right then?
If you are walking with the Lord
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't come, then the Lord will undertake that one.
Oh, okay.
Because if you are not walking with the Lord, if you are taking the excuse of you don't know that,
that
will solve you from the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it is the key is maintaining a good conscience towards God is the important thing, which will make the spirit know that what is not acceptable in your heart and what you did to the others.
Right.
Otherwise, you will not be able to know.
Sure.
Many things we can observe in the assembly or in families. What you are convicted of, others don't have even a feeling about that.
Right.
So, we both are believers, but then it depends upon how close a brother is walking with the Lord is the key to know and sense what is not right in the sight of God and what is offending to the brother.
Sure.
Yeah. But at the same time, I cannot take an excuse that I don't know this.
No, right.
When it is brought to you, then you should leave your offering and go and reconcile. Then the Lord blesses that soul.
Brother, if two brothers are talking, just a regular talking, mm-hmm. and going to the worldly way, mm-hmm. worldly talks, mm-hmm. and in deeply, and it will automatically talk on someone, then what is the consequences?
Consequences is the same thing. So they are talking about a brother who is not present. They are talking badly. So that is a serious offense in the sight of God.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord will not accept that. If you want to talk about good about that brother, you talk. But if you don't have anything to talk good, then you just keep quiet. Don't encourage that kind of talk.
Uncle, I have one question. So whatever we say or do on this earth will decide whether I will be the part of that millennium kingdom or not. Or is there any possibility that once I leave this world and then because if I go to the part of Hades where whatever is not complete, I have to go through the consequences,
mm-hmm.
and that the process will be over and still I can be the part of Millennium Kingdom.
See, we don't see a proof for that one in the scripture. Your question looking very valid. Then it doesn't seem, I don't have any word to substantiate that.
Right.
If I say yes.
Mm.
So I don't know the word answer for in the from the scripture. So I cannot tell you it is okay.
Or okay. It is,
I don't know that. I don't know the answer.
Okay.
Shweta.
Yes.
I would like to read this one, a book of Hebrews chapter 9. Your question.
Yeah.
Verse 27.
And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment.
Yeah, once the judgment is come, the judgment is done based upon your earthly life here. As soon as the man dies, then there is a judgment. And the judgment is passed, that time it is decided whether you will go to millennial kingdom or no. Then that is over.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's done.
Once you leave the earth, it's done.
So it is good for all of us, like Prasad said.
Yes.
To pay the price here and finish the course here.
That's cool.
Brother, whatever is there, sometimes word says that you will establish, you will strengthen, and you will complete that remaining, whatever is remaining for us, the sanctification work. What is the meaning of that? How
you are willing to, like Prasad said, then if you are willing, that he will do that. That is what his interest is.
Here.
You see, he wanted to, whatever is the work which he wanted to do in us, he would like to complete that. So book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 48.
Be therefore perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect.
So what does that mean? Here or there?
Here.
That's it. Whatever is needed to be done, he is willing to complete. See, when I know that there is a problem in my conduct and I need to overcome, according to the earnest desire of my heart, the Lord supplies the strength and His grace both. And He pulls me up to overcome that nature in me. But when we are taking that promise that He will do it, but He will not, he is willing to do, He will do it. But your cooperation for His dealings is necessary. He will not push anybody. We allow His work to be done in you.
Your willingness should be there.
Pardon? Willingness, yes. Willingness. And many people, when we pray, we say, the Lord, deal with me. But when the Lord started dealing, then we say, no, this is too much for me, then I don't want this problem. And we tell our whole world that I am in this problem, that you pray that I may come out. That is not the way the sanctification is completed. Sanctification, if you want to say it is a prayer burden, now this is what I have done. This is what is happening in my life. This is what the Lord is dealing. But in all these matters, what I need to learn, you pray for that. And when we don't have that kind of a heart, we are not allowing the work of the Lord in us. For example, Paul was in a Philippian jail. That he never told all the assemblies, you pray that I will be released. He said, even I am in the prison, but I am, whatever the Lord's plan for me, that He will do it. For a simple sickness, headache, fever, this, that, when we are just so much taking into self-looking life, then what is that one? No, that is, when we are children, we are like that. But when we are growing, we need to just look unto the Lord. Lord, help us in every situation to rejoice in You, to be grateful unto You for all Thy blessings, for Thy guidance.
Brother, we can share the burden to the brethren even when we are going through many things. And as you said, not to remove that burden, but yep, to help to go through the burden, because Paul always asks that he should be remembered in the prayers by all of them, so that he can do the will of God.
Yep. Right.
So I'm saying that you share the burden. In that one, whatever the Lord wanted to be done, let Lord do it.
Yes.
Not to take out the problem.
Yeah, that's what I completely agree with you on that, because otherwise the purpose for which the Lord has allowed it in our life will not be accomplished otherwise.
That is why simple works also in our lives are postponed and so much lingering, because we are not allowing the work of the Lord in us.
The context of Prasad's statement, what we sow, what we reap is what we reap.
Yes.
So that is also in relation to this very life. The Lord will deal with it, isn't it? Like for our action.
Exactly, Jayant. That there is no problem. And I have the first-hand experience on that.
I think we all have, brother.
Now, whatever I did to my parents in their ignorance and innocency, and in all my knowledge and understanding, my children did it to me. They both are not there. That is why I can tell
you. I
have taken it. It is the payback time. And when it is all done, I believe, then they both are gone out.
Now they'll be ready for their children also.
I told them already, it is 10 times.
Yeah.
So everyone is maybe more than 10 times. So we see what we are. And another brother told me, what exactly I was with my father, my son is like that. He told me that. Then I said, is any you be prepared for 10 times? So that is good, Jayant, if the Lord, it is the Lord's mercies. Whatever we did, now we have to take care of the account, and the Lord pleases that way. And it is a great blessing for us through them. That is how the children became an inheritance for us. By allowing the work of the Lord, Lord uses them as the tools to work in us. So that is why after knowing that one, my love towards them is much more increased.
This is what I take to comfort very early on. We also see in the Revelation to the chapter 3 for the Laodicean church. He said, come to me and I will refine you in fire. And you will become rich. So the Lord does desires that we may be refined here in the fiery furnace. And then to Sister Salah Moses' statement, then what he has begun the good work, he also will complete in this in the day of the Lord's coming.
Yeah.
When we go through that fire.
But even King David, brother, he knows that he was able to complete his sanctification work. He prayed, and God has done to him. And he prayed. That's why he was able to tell to Joab Bishamro, let him do complete there. Isn't it? Because yeah. What he has done to him. So we also will pray because everybody wanted to finish the sanctification work here only. Nobody likes to be there. So this is all our prayer, our burden also, brother.
That is what we say, sister. But that is not our hearts. That is what is the question.
Yes, brother. Last time I told you, I think last week, 2 weeks back, frightened to go to the cross and afraid for the self-love, self these, you know, these all things makes us a little bit fear of going to the cross. But if I'm praying that Lord help me to love the cross, then only, you know, because then only there only we can go get the resurrected power.
Yes.
I don't know what type of situation he'll bring, but we know that what is going to happen. That's why we should not be. As believers, we are praying for that and God will bring for all of us. I do not know how, what type of this one.
Yeah, we should earnestly desirous of the Lord's dealings to be allowed in our life, sister. And the Lord blesses us and He is willing to complete His work in us. The good work which He has begun, He is able to complete until the day of the Lord. So whether it is here, when He comes here, or later.
Uncle, is there any references for different type of punishments after death to meditate on that? Like, how often?
It is a reference to the Gehenna fire.
In Jeremiah 7, it is there. Jeremiah 7th chapter. About the Gehenna and all, how that fire will be.
No, it's only always talking about the fire of Gehenna. But is there any other punishments?
Outer darkness. And we can see that one, but now this itself is scary.
Yeah. Now, if we know those, if we at least we can imagine those punishments, we have back of mind it is going okay. We can face one of these punishments, then we will be in control. What you are talking, what you are imagining,
then we'll be more careful.
No, Prasad, because you are scared of that punishment, you don't.
No. I am not talking about because of scared of the punishment.
Because everything will be all right. The Lord will fix things. He's great.
I need to have that kind of honest heart to go before God and honestly confess and ask Him for the forgiveness. Not only that, and I should mentally prepare that whatever the punishment He is going to give me to complete the sanctification work on the earth, I'm mentally prepared for that also. If I don't prepare for that, and even though I'm honestly asking to God, I don't think that sanctification work completely will be completed in me. Even if I ask honestly, ask for forgiveness, for every sin after knowing Christ, by deliberately if I did something wrong, then I should be punished here on the face of the earth. Or that should be carried out to the afterlife. So either way, I need to be prepared for that. And I mentally ask, honestly ask God to take me that path here or there. So I need to prepare for that.
It's good. Yeah, it looks you are already prepared. Shall we pray?